Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church! How are we all doing this morning? Nice, you can take your seats. Okay, before I proceed with my message, I would first like to thank Pastor Byron and Pastor Kent, who's in Edenvale, for this privilege of being able to speak on platform. It's such a privilege and something I really don't take lightly. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor V. Right, okay. So in this hot future service that we have going today, Kyle and I have the privilege of speaking into hot future, you know, finding hope for the future. And I'm going to kick us off this morning in finding hope in the new you. Okay, so for those who know me, know that I'm a very fiery person, right? And so sometimes when I'm speaking, I'm shouting. But actually, I'm not shouting, you know, I'm just full of passion. And so it's so bad that sometimes at family gatherings, you know, around the table, if there's like a heated debate and I share my thoughts and I stand up and I'm shouting, you know, my mother will be like, but Kayla, why are you fighting? And I'm like, but I'm not fighting, you know. And my grandmother will be able to back me and say, we're just passionate, you know. And I mean, even at work, sometimes when I'm explaining something to the same person for like the 60th time, you know, before I can even finish explaining it, my colleagues are already backing me. They're like, don't worry, Kayla's just passionate about her job. She's determined, you know. So if she gets loud or, you know, shouts, she's not fighting. She's just being passionate, you know. And so with this in mind, or with people always backing me, I was like, okay, slay, you know, it's fine. I can be passionate, you know, they'll be strong. Like, I'm passionate. It's just passion. Until one day, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and he said, you know what, my child, it's so cute that you think it's passion, but actually, it's being impatient. Yeah, now I was like, okay, anyways, I'm sure the teens are happy now. They're like, yeah, now Kayla can't shout at us. But in this moment, I was reminded that, you know what, God is creating something new in me. And if we look at Ephesians 4, verses 24, it says this: put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This verse helps us to see that instead of saying, this is how I am, you know, we're saying, God, which room are we renovating today? Like, what are we working on today? So you see, God highlighted that my passionateness is not being passionate, it's being impatient, you know, and he was showing me that I'm creating a more patient Kayla, you know, a more attentive Kayla. I can still be passionate while being patient, you know, and soft and kind-hearted. So let's be people who ignite hope for our future. Let's be people who surrender the current you in turn for the new you. And how does this look like? It looks like acknowledging the unhealthy patterns. And what might those unhealthy patterns be? For some of us, it's unforgiveness, bitterness, disobedience, jealousy. For others, it might be an alcohol addiction. Whatever it is that comes to mind right now, what are those unhealthy patterns? Let's acknowledge those current unhealthy patterns and surrender them. Why? Because when we do, we find hope. Sometimes those unhealthy patterns leave us feeling hopeless, leave us feeling like there is no way forward. And so when we acknowledge those, when we surrender it to Christ, he's able to give us hope for the future. And we can do this by finding an accountability partner. Find someone that you trust, someone that you know loves you and wants the best for you. And say to them, hey, you know what, nah, guys, I've been very, you know, impatient lately and I really want to do better. God's convicting me to be more patient and kind in my approach. So every time you see me getting a bit, you know, passionate, then just like hit me a bit and say, Kayla, you know, just calm down a little bit, you know. Or don't say anything, just give me eyes. Then I know, then I know, okay, I'm being a bit too passionate now. And then second, prayer and scripture. And let me tell you, church, there is scripture for everything. Literally, like you can just go and look it up, find a scripture that relates to whatever you feel you're struggling with, and memorize it so that you can stand on it, speak that scripture into your life over and over and over, you know? There's power in standing on God's word. And then my favorite, worship. Praise God for what he's about to do in your life, even if you don't know what's coming next. When we find ourselves in a posture of surrender, he's able to access our life and turn that current unhealthy patterns, you know, to hope for the future, to a newness in our lives. And so that looks like raising our hands during worship. It looks like going down on your knees if you must. And I can recall, so earlier this year, I found myself in a space of like feeling hopeless. I'm not going to explain the story too much in detail, but just to like briefly explain to you guys. So there was a night where my brother was in a very bad fight. And so, you know, the fiery person that I am, I was like, yeah, let's go find them, you know, let's go find them because how can they do this kind of a thing? And one Sunday, going to church, serving, I felt like, you know, I need to keep it all together. You know, I can't be putting the music stand up, crying, yeah. And so I didn't want to raise my hands because I knew, oh, then I'm going to cry, you know. And I found myself in a space of hopelessness. Like, there's no hope. There's no, what must happen? Like, there's no going back from this. There's no trying to fix it, trying to change it. This is what it is. And then a worship song played, and I couldn't help but lift my hands because now really, what must happen? And so I did, and in doing so, you know, tears just came to my eyes, and now for real, I had to put the music stand up with crying, and you know, and I fell to my knees, and I had no words because what do you say in those moments where you feel hopeless, you know? And so I prayed, and I was like, Jesus, it's yours. Like, literally, that's all I said because there were no words to actually explain what I was feeling or what I wanted to happen next, you know. But all I knew is that it was only up to God now. And so, you see, church, it took me acknowledging the unhealthy patterns being maybe finding ourselves in the wrong places, right? Acknowledging those and giving it to God. And just that one moment of worship, God turned our current to new, and we're still living in that hope. When we do these things, church, we allow God into the spaces of our lives that we don't allow anyone else into. When we come before him with authenticness, you know, and really give our struggles to him, even the ones that we sort of want to keep and control, he's able to take that current, you, and turn it to a new you. Because the current you, you may be finding yourself in hopeless situations. But when he turns you into your new you, that's where hope is. And we get to see what God wants to do in our lives. So let's ignite hope in finding the new you. And as we do so, Kyle is going to come up and encourage us further.
Come on, let's give it up for Michaela. Seriously incredible. There is hope in the new you. There is hope in the new you. And equally, it is so easy to get lost in what is happening in our lives currently. Do you guys agree? It's easy to get lost in our present situations and the things that are going on with us, that we struggle to move forward and see hope for the future. But let's learn a little bit more about that. I'd like to take us into a story about Viktor Frankl. Have you guys heard of Viktor Frankl? Has anybody heard Viktor Frankl before? He's written a really awesome book. But today I would just like to share a little bit about his story with us. He was a Jew living in the time of Nazi Germany. He was also a psychiatrist and neurologist. Imagine having 2 degrees of such weight. And he, along with his entire family, found himself being deported off into the Nazi concentration camps in 1942. From 1942, he was moved between multiple concentration camps, separated from his family, separated from the people he loved dearly, and found himself in a space not knowing what the future would look like, nor knowing whether he would make it to the next day in the present. Can you imagine the stress he may have been under in those moments? Can you imagine the perpetual adversity that he may have faced in that space that would have broken down his spirit completely? He was separated from his family, and he was the only one to survive that. It is a tragic story, a difficult one to digest. Yet in that space, he shares of something that brought him hope. And because he was a neurologist and a psychiatrist, all he could do was observe the nature of people around him. And he found that the people who did the best in those spaces of adversity were people who looked for meaning regardless of the adversity that they were facing in the moment. They looked for meaning. And when things are broken, when we are struggling, when we are unable to see past today and we're struggling with what might happen in the future and we're just stuck inside our heads overthinking, feeling so anxious that we can no longer move forward, we can't see hope, we're feeling hopeless, we're feeling broken down, it is then that we need to say, there is meaning in this space. Viktor Frankl says this to us, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. How many of us know that we cannot change ourselves? It is impossible to say, I will try better at this and I will change who I am. It is impossible to do that. Do you guys know that about yourselves, about me? We can try as hard as we want. We cannot change ourselves. There is only one way that we change, and that is when we begin to rely on God. I'd like to take us into Isaiah 40 verse 29 to 31. It says this, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When we begin to rely on God, He begins to renew our strength. It's as we rely on God that He renews our strength. And despite what might be happening in our present, despite what we're worrying about for the future, it's in that moment when we decide that, Lord, I can't change these circumstances. I can't change who I am, but I can rely upon you to bring strength to me, increase me, move me into a space where I am walking in full purpose and meaning in life. In order for us to be renewed by God, to be renewed and be strengthened by Him, we need to cast our anxieties upon Him. Everything that we are struggling with right now, the difficulties that we cannot face, we need to say, I can't face these in my own strength. Lord, I'm going to cast this to you. 1 Peter 5:7, I cast my anxieties onto you. Once we have casted our anxieties onto the Lord, it becomes easier to step into a God-given purpose. Because we know now that as He is strengthening me, as He is moving me closer toward Him, as He is saying, in this moment right now, Lord, I put it on you. What do you have for me now? Now that we don't have to carry these things in our lives, what can we take upon us? Purpose. We can take purpose when we release the anxieties of life. I'd like to encourage us with something that I believe helped me a lot in this last little while. I have found myself struggling with hope, as many of us might be feeling as well. Do you guys feel it sometimes? Life can be heavy. We can feel there's a weight on our shoulders, but the truth is we shouldn't be carrying that. And yet we still find ourselves in that space where we're worried about the present and we're worried about how the future might turn out, and we sit in the space where we're debilitated to move forward and focus on what we should be focusing on, that we just get ourselves stuck, planted, hopeless. Recently, I found myself in this space because I felt like my life was moving a little too slowly for my liking. At the same time that was going on, I was in a car accident. My car was written off. And we found myself in this space where I was like, yo, I'm not moving forward. I am currently moving backwards. I don't have a car. I don't know how fast I'm getting to the next place that I need to be in right now. And you get stuck. Does anybody feel that way at any point in their life? It's just like, yo, everything's upon my shoulders. I need to move forward, but I can't because I'm stuck in my anxieties. I'm stuck in what I feel is not moving toward in the future. I don't know how to get past this. And then I just realized I needed to cast those anxieties onto the Lord. And the only way that was going to happen was through the singular practice that I felt helped me a lot. And it was to reflect upon what God was doing right now, rather than on the anxieties around me. And it was as I began to focus in on those things that God was doing currently right now in our lives, that we began to see a shift. I began to see something change in my spirit, in my hope levels, in my heart, in my trust in God, in my faith in God. It all began to rise because I decided, no, I'm going to focus on the different things. And as we focus on what God is doing, we forget about what we're anxious about, and we can move into a hope for the future. And we can see a genuine, real, meaningful hope in the future because of what He's doing right now. And what we're doing right now, and as we live in purpose right now, and we live in God's given purpose for our lives, we can see what that purpose is doing for the future. And we begin to have a hope in that future because we know that God's got us and He's got the future and He's got our kids and He's got our situations. He's got our anxieties. He's got everything that we've been carrying on our shoulders. And He's saying, no, put it on me and I'll give you a purpose to carry. I'll give you something to move toward for real. And I'll give you a hope that changes things, really changes things. But we can only do it if we cast our anxieties, pick up our purpose, and reflect upon what God is doing right now in this moment. What is God doing right now in your life? What is He doing in my life? And you'll begin to see what that purpose, that meaning that we're finding in that perpetual adversity, what is it doing for our futures? And I ask that we all just bow our heads, close our eyes in this moment. Give ourselves some space. Just take a breath. If you're carrying a burden right now, just acknowledge that burden. Acknowledge that anxiety. Acknowledge the hopelessness that you might be feeling. There are two groups of people that I'd like to pray for right now. The first. The first are those who are currently in a relationship with Jesus, but still finding themselves stuck, captured by anxiety, captured by stress, captured by the worries of how the future might turn out. held by what's keeping you back from your past. If you've got that weight upon your shoulders, together, let's just cast that onto the Lord. Let's just cast our anxieties upon Him. If that is you, I would just like to see who it is. Would you mind raising your hands and let's just pray this prayer together? Father, you are good, you are kind, you are loving, you are gracious, and you grant us peace. And because of that, Lord, we can rely upon you, we can cast our burdens onto you, we can give all that we are struggling with to you and pick up something new. Today as a church, we pick up that something new. We pick up that new identity that Michaela spoke about. We pick up that new purpose that I've been speaking about. And we say, Lord, the anxieties are yours, and we put what you have for our lives upon us. You can put your hands down. The second group of people that I would love to pray with are those who are not yet following Jesus. Those who have not yet made the decision to follow Christ. Right now, I need to say that we cannot release the anxieties upon our lives if we do not pick up a relationship with Jesus. A step in following Jesus is you deciding to take your anxieties and the burdens you shouldn't be carrying and putting them upon His shoulders and allowing Him to put a purpose on yours. If you feel like that is what you need for your life, if you need new purpose and you need anxiety and stress lifted off of your shoulders, it's time to follow Jesus. And so on the count of three, I would just love to see who you are by raising your hand, just so that I can pray with you and give you some language to make this decision with. So on a count of three. One, two, three. If you want to make that decision to follow Jesus right now, just raise your hand. For those who just made that decision right now, I would love to pray this. Will you pray it with me just in your heart? It's language you can use to make this decision. Father God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I am not perfect. I know that I am not righteous to step into your presence, but you've graced that for me. I'm choosing to follow you right now and move toward a life of purpose, a life of meaning, and lay my anxieties upon you. Jesus, I choose to believe that you are my Lord and Savior. And everybody who said and agreed says a resounding amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.